Good morning. How's everyone today? Trust you're having a good week, blessed week. Pray for us. My drunken neighbors partied till 3 in the morning. Another neighbor called the fire department because they had a bonfire bigger than the backyard. So we're having fun, and I'm trying to have a good attitude, but I really do enjoy worshiping together in God's house. That is health to the bones. And so thank you for the worship team, but just for us being together to just lift up the name of Jesus and honor God. So it's Palm Sunday. I'm asking the question, what kind of king is Jesus to you? He wasn't the king they expected. And I'm just going to invite you to read with me in Matthew chapter 21, a couple of verses. I might read more than what I listed there, just because I like the scriptures. So here's in chapter 21, this Palm Sunday, this triumphal entry into Jerusalem is in all the Gospels, all four. They all bring a bit of a different picture. But Matthew says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you. At once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed, and they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna, which literally means save us, to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. And Jesus entered the temple and he drove out all that were buying. It's not quite what they expected. As they're celebrating and singing, he overturned the tables and the money changers and the benches. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. And then the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. There should be more Hosanna. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, all the kids shouting and running. Lori wanted to, she's trying to get me to get all the kids to come here as we sang one of the songs, and I didn't go for it, but I'm not hosting today. But just this picture of chaos and singing, people being healed, wonderful things he did, and the children shouting. They all praised the Lord. No, it says they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked Jesus. And yes, he replied, have you never read from the lips of children and the infants you have ordained praise? Amen. Lots going on. Lots in this whole story. But I'm going to try to keep it short, and I know I say that all the time. But I do want to end with a testimonial type challenge, encouragement, that I pray that after sleeping only 3 hours, we'll have some life in it. That's my prayer. So pray for me. I need the prayer. You need the practice. So it's good. Let's go for it. So he's not the king they expected, but he is the king we need. So in Matthew 21, 8, 9, we just read, the crowd is shouting, Hosanna. You can put up the next slide. Stay with me there. Means to save us. They wave palm branches. Why do they follow Jesus? You know, they thought he was going to come in and change the world. He's going to be conquering the Romans. They were just excited. It's kind of like the crowd that was excited about the bread, and they missed the whole point. And this crowd was similar. They were expecting a liberator. They're expecting political freedom. They're expecting, you know, a huge shakeup of the politics in Canada in a few days. They were expecting a lot, and Jesus wasn't that. He came as a king, but not to overthrow Rome, but to overthrow death, hell, and the grave. to overthrow sin, to overthrow the stuff that we talk about 2,000 years on this side of the cross, they weren't getting it. But there was a lot of joy in the city. And here's the question that comes out of it. Do you follow Jesus for who he is or for who we want him to be? Will you still follow him when his plans don't match our desires? Be honest. Answer the question. I'm just getting my cup of water here. Sorry. It's hard to bend over with the microphone on. Why do you follow Jesus? You know, people often will tell me, and I'm the same, is if Jesus answered what I'm praying for, he answered prayer. If I don't get what I'm praying for, Jesus didn't answer my prayer. It's like this week I met people who are disappointed with God, disappointed with, you know, this feeling that he's rejected me, he's left me, he's deserted me. Why me? What happened? How could this be? Literally asking those questions. And this crowd started out shouting Hosanna for a king. And by the end of the week, you know the story. They were hollering, crucify him. Last week, Peter, John here, not the gospel Peter, Peter, was speaking about the anointing of Jesus, and he was anointed as king. And he asked the question, is he king of your life? Is he king over everything? You know, you say, Lord, Lord, but is he Lord of our lives? Do we trust him to be the king that he's supposed to be in our life? Is he really Lord of everything? And I, as I said, I was talking already about this, but if God doesn't answer your prayer the way you think he should, do you still call him king? Do you still call him Lord? It's, you know, most of the time it's all about me and my needs and, you know, what am I getting out of this? How can this happen to me? It becomes a lot about me. I don't know how you are, but that's what happens to us is we say he's king. And my friend in South Africa always used to say, you know, Christians only lie when they sing hymns and songs. We sing this stuff. Yeah, I don't even start quoting some of the songs even this morning we were singing. It's like, oh, God, may that be true about our life. He's worthy of it all. Is he? Is he? Is he worthy of it all? And I appreciated the prayer time this morning, and I think it was Drew just saying, you know, if Jesus walked in here this morning, what would you do? Well, he's here. And I pray that our worship is on par with that. The fact that he is Lord and that he's worthy of it all. I want my praise to be that. I want to be able to worship him. So he's king. He's prophet. Is he still the prophet in your life? Is his word still true? Do you really believe this word of God? Is he still speaking to you? Did he speak to you through the worship? Did he speak to you through just the Spirit of God this morning? Is he still speaking to you? So he's a priest. He's a king. He's a prophet. You know, if you talk about, this was Pete's message last week, but if he's a priest, that means he ministers between God and us, and he offers salvation, and he shed his blood. And I don't want to repeat the message from last week, but do we really live in that? Do we live in the forgiveness and the amazing freedom of coming into God's presence? The veil is torn. We can come into the Holy of Holies, and we can worship God, and we can bring our needs, and we can cry out before him and trust him with our life. Is he truly the prophet of our life and the priest and the king? Is he speaking to us? Is he leading us? Is he with us? He is a prophet. He is a priest who knows our needs. He was like us. He took on flesh. And if there's anything from the message of Easter, is that he was flesh. And his suffering was real. And he died. And thank God he rose again. But we were at the movie with the kids last night. The King of Kings. Just the whole story of Jesus' birth and death and resurrection. And it just, you know, it's done for kids. And it was a good story. Well done. And just to see again what it meant for Jesus to die. What it meant for that whole week of what we're celebrating this week. What that week meant in history, changing the world, changing lives, your life and mine. And we're going to celebrate it on Sunday, the end of the week. But this time in the week, is Jesus disappointing you? Is he letting you down? Do you have that feeling of, why? Why me? Well, I want to tell you something. You're not alone. But I pray this morning that we would see him working in our lives for who he really is and put our trust in him. When we say in Luke chapter 19, you don't need to come there, but let me just go there quickly. Luke 19, it's his account of it. And verse 41 to 44, let me find it here. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, this is just a little different version of it, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That's another picture of this triumphal entry. It's not the Jesus they were expecting. It's not, let me just shorten this because I do want to get to my conclusion. I wonder if what breaks Jesus' heart today still breaks our heart. I wonder if what we celebrate today, God questions. When they were coming into that city, it was like they missed it. And Jesus weeps. They're shouting, Hosanna. Jesus is weeping. And in my life, so many times I've said, I wonder when I'm celebrating, Jesus is weeping. When Jesus is sleeping in the boat, I'm screaming in the boat. You know? When Jesus says, can you watch and wait for an hour? I'm over here in the garden sleeping. That's one of the things that stuck out in that kid's story of King of Kings, the disciples. You know, it's all animated, but they do such an amazing job of just these. I saw myself over there just sleeping, and he's like, can't you watch and wait for 1 hour? And they just didn't get the point of what he was doing there, and I don't want to miss the point in my life over and over again of why Jesus is saying what he's doing, or saying what he's saying, or doing what he's doing. His heart breaks over their blindness to the true peace that he offers. Can you imagine? Like, I love to imagine these stories, but can you imagine Jesus, how he's looking at this situation, knowing what's coming, and the people in that city? You got the religious who are hating it, the children who are screaming, Hosanna. You got people jumping and thinking it's going to be the Romans are going to be destroyed, we're going to be free. It's like you got every kind of thing going on. And Jesus weeps. He weeps over the city. And I'm wondering many times, wonder what I'm missing. What am I missing today? What is God's heart broken over right now that I'm not moved by at all? And I'm asking God to open my eyes and my heart. The crowd missed it. How many times do I miss it? And then in Zechariah 9, verse 9, it was over 500 years ago. It's this fulfillment of prophecy, and we could spend a long time on it. But just amazing, 500 years later, and there's kids singing and shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, they don't even, some might put it together and understand what it means that he's the Messiah, and that's what the religious people were freaked out about and told them, do you hear what they're singing? And others were just in the crowd, just in the mob. But it was like this amazing fulfillment of prophecy. And I've always had the picture of the priests and everybody sitting in the temple, this whole temple that came down from Moses and the instructions, and you got the whole thing and the offerings and the blood. And then on this side, you have Jesus, who's actually fulfilling all of that, who's actually what the whole point was about. And these priests are sitting there in the robes in the temple, and they're like, what is this? And someone would go out and look, and it's just this Jesus of Nazareth guy going by, and they would miss it. And the worst ones were the ones who saw it and got it and still hated it, still rejected it. They knew what was going on. And they said, no, And, you know, it's like earlier, how do we kill him and how do we kill Lazarus? How do we get rid of these guys? They're going to destroy everything. And they missed his point. So what prophecies? What is God speaking through his word that we are not hearing? What's he saying by his Holy Spirit? And I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I can only talk about my life. And I know, and I trust it's for more than just me, that God is challenging us to walk a holy life, to get our hearts right, to get our thoughts right, to get our alone time right, to get who we are before God right. Like we said, what Drew said, if you walk through here today, and he is, and he's here, I want my heart to be soft. I want my heart to be open to the Spirit of God. Is that okay? The same crowd that was cheering Hosanna, they're the same ones a few days later just screaming, crucify him, crucify him. You can't trust the crowd, amen? What is right is seldom popular. What is popular is seldom right. All those things. And we, you know, I pray tonight as we have an encounter tonight and we spend some time in worship, we want to pray for one another, but we want to pray for this country. I believe this is, every election's important, but I believe these are important days for the church to be on its knees, for the church to be praying, for us to be seeking God, that he would maybe not give us leaders we deserve, but the leaders that we need, the leaders that God would raise up. And God's going to work through all of it, and we trust him. But I pray that he would speak this morning, fulfill his prophecies, fulfill his promises, but many times not in the way I expected. Here's a thought I wrote down. If you have a feeling of disappointment with God, or somehow God has failed you or let you down, you need to repent. Easter is that time for us to come back to the cross, to the passion of the Christ, to his suffering and to his death and his resurrection and to a new life. We often want that quick, easy solution. God says to us, I'm the king of your life, but perhaps not the king you expected. Now, here's where I want to go. And I'm asking God seriously for... Yeah, that. Little brat. I see you. A lot like her mother, that one. Yeah. A lot like her grandmother, eh? Sure. I have to tell you a story, and it's going to take me a bit of time. So bear with me. Julia, just bear with me. I dedicated you not long ago, so you better behave. See that smile? See? I'm finished. I can't say any more. I'm gonna talk about the most challenging time in our life. Been through many. So forgive me for going back, and some of you heard some of it, but I need to, because I'm making a point this morning. Is that okay? Pray with me instead of staring at me. No. I'm the one that's feeling stuck this morning, but I do believe that God wants to put his finger on something. So here's the story. I don't even know how long ago, 1994, so whatever that is, that's a long time ago. Lori and I were released from the mission organization we were part of, and it was the darkest, hardest, personal, I'm just describing how it felt for me and for us. So it's December 15th. We get the call. You're no longer financed. You no longer have a job. And when a missionary gets fired, that changes your country, your school, your wife's position, your home, your everything. Your kids' schooling. It's not just, you know, I lost my job, so I went and found another one. It's like, it shook the foundations of our life and shook our me. To, okay, God, where are you? what is this? What I thought, what I was doing, what I was hearing, and whatever. And I'm not trying to blame anyone, so just I'll get to the good stuff. Just stay with me. But in order for me to make a point about the good stuff, you got to understand the pain of it. I can still remember being on the phone and looking over, and I see Nicole, she's lit, whatever she was in 94, little kids, and I don't think Melanie, yeah, you were just born, Kyle, and they're playing on the floor, and I'm like, God, their whole world just changed, and I don't know what's going on. And it seemed like one of the hardest times. It was the hardest time. Like, it shook her character. Who am I? What am I? What do I do? Go get a carpenter's job again? Build some more houses in Mill Woods? Thank you, my son. Rewards in heaven. We had a good lunch, me and him, yesterday. And I could tell you, I'd bring tears to we knew fi eyes if I could tell you how good it was. I mean that. Thank you. Back to my hard story. So, this is now December. Pitch black. You know, Canada, Alberta, dark, miserable. So we started praying and felt like the Lord was speaking to us, to me and Lori, and we started an organization called Help International. And all it was a letterhead on a piece of paper that I typed. And I'm showing Lori, and we're talking, and I've shared this low point where she says, "You're a liar! Help International! We don't even have gas to go to Evansburg." And we lived in Entwistle. And it's like, and we go to church, and the long story short, and I've shared this some time past in this whole situation, but someone left some milk in the church for us. And so as we're going out, one of the ushers, one of the guys, he says, "There's some groceries left for you." So we take the milk and we go home, and it's like 4 liters, and we're jumping around in our house, and it was like God said we're going to Africa. It's like, if God can take care of the milk, he can take care of anything. And we're jumping around with our kids, and they think we're crazy, and we're singing, we're going to Africa because of some milk. And I could tell more and more stories, but that got shared around. It got onto some YouTube things. I don't know. We shared it a couple different places. But that was the hardest season. And then God started to speak. And there was a family that came to me, and they said, "Well, what do you need?" And we said, you know, I shared this. We needed a container. We need to buy airplane tickets. And they said, "Well, how much is that? And how much is that?" And we're kind of like, okay, our ears started to open. Okay, yeah. And make a long story short, they wrote out a check and they paid for all of that. And it was like, I don't know how to explain how God opens the heavens and it just, and it, like, there's no way to explain the mercy and the amazement of God. Out of this horriblest, what we felt like gonna die, to God saying, "Okay, I can show you something." So we go back to Africa. Here's what I'm trying to get to. Because of the lowest, terrible moments of our life, literally, if you had a couple of days, I could walk you through some of it. Because of that, we end up back in Tanzania. We end up connecting with a group called the Big November Crusades. It's a group of evangelists, business. We started doing ministry with them. In those days, I traveled with the band, Good News Band. We went to every major city in East Africa. The crowds were hundreds of thousands sometimes. Tens and tens and tens of thousands. I can show you videos. I was a Billy Graham. They used to call me the little Reinhard Bonnke. He was the big Bonnke and I was the little Bonnke. I don't care. It's because we could fit our whole band and all our stuff in one vehicle, and we could go to every village and every town. And then we joined Big November and we started doing these crusades all over. That was because of what was the hardest time in my life, that happened. Then, jump ahead, we end up in South Africa through a whole nother process. We end up doing Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. We traveled all of Africa doing the drama. We did altar calls worth 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people at a time would come. The church in Nairobi sat 10,000, and there'd be 10,000 waiting outside to get in for the next one. And when we give an altar call, they couldn't move. And it was just like these amazing seasons. If I might close my eyes, I just see these seasons of God's amazing goodness. And then because of that, we end up in 3CI. And some of you know 3CI and come from there, and the whole story of how we were there and the blessing of it and the church growing. We are part of it. And them sending us where? To plant this church. Amen. All of those steps, all of those things wasn't my plan. I remember laying in my bed saying, God, how can this, what is this? How can this be? And it's great to look back 30 years ago or whatever it was, and now I can stand here and say, wow, God is so amazing. Look what he's done. And what I'm trying to say is the Jesus you expect may not be the one who shows up. But I'm telling you, he's got something better in store if you can just hang in there. If these guys who were worshiping on that day on Palm Sunday, if they could have just understood the next Sunday, 1 week Sunday, not this whole week of crucifixion and the whole thing that had to happen, but if they could have just seen one more Sunday, what happened? And most missed it. They missed the whole thing. Now, can I jump you ahead to 2024 in my same story? Well, I'm going to go back to 2024. Thank you for your help. No. I got to go back to December 2024. Just seems like 2 days ago. I get this phone call. Well, I got a bunch of phone calls, and you know, you think they're just junk phone calls. So I don't answer it. That's that week. The next week, I get some phone calls. Finally, Lori gets a call from a friend, and it's this family back in the old country where we used to stay who were part of that blessing of helping us to get to Africa and this whole story. And it's their son now who's grown up. And he says he wants to meet her. His mom is talking to Lori because that's the number they have. He says, he's in the hospital. He's meeting his doctor. He wants to have a coffee with Len. And she sets it up. And I'm kind of angry because she's always booking me things and ministry without talking to me. You know, the man of God. It's like, so anyhow, no, I was very happy to go. And I need some water. So make a long story short, we get together. And he's crying, and I'm crying. He's telling me this whole story of his life and how his business partner ripped him off. And just this painful season. They go to Mexico as a family, and they have this family holiday, and he's out in the ocean. And there's a whole long story because there's this huge undercurrent, and the lifeguards were saying, you can't swim, you can't do all these things. Finally, they say, okay, you can go out on the sea-doos, and they go out into the ocean, and they're tearing around on their sea-doos, and then the whole thing changes, and they're called back, and they said, you cannot ride these things, get back to shore. The whole thing has changed, and so everybody jumps off, and they swim into shore, and he got tangled in the cable that hooks the key to the sea-doo, and he didn't make the swim. And so just those few moments that it took for everything, he's finding himself being pulled out. And the harder he swam, the further out he was. And he got to the point, he'd see a boy in the water, and he'd try to swim to it until his lungs were breaking, and he would be further away than when he started. And he's like, I don't know, I'm going to ruin my family's holiday. This is going to ruin everything. We came here to celebrate, to get some strength and help, and I'm going to ruin it for everybody. And then this great big giant wave comes, picks him up in the ocean, and just slams him down, and he's standing on sand. And as he said, it's like I'm in the middle of the ocean, but I'm standing on sand. Make a long story short, things changed. He got back to shore. But while he was standing there, as he got back to shore, he's wrestling with this whole business thing. This is why he's meeting with me now. The city of Edmonton had turned down his tender to do this jobs. And God spoke to him. He said, remember the wave? And then he said, remember the milk, referring to our testimony of the milk. And it doesn't sound like much when I'm sharing it like this morning. And he's crying, and we're just thinking of how good God is and how just amazing how he ties lives together. This guy was a kid back in those days, and he's being encouraged by God. And this is, to make a long story short, he says, God laid Leonard on my heart. That's me. And so he phones his mother, who is our friend, and she says, that's funny, because God's laid Leonard on my heart too. And that's why he wanted to meet. So we were telling the story, and he said, yeah, God's been good to me. God's helped us. And he said, you play a big part of this story, and, you know, repeats the story and the testimony, and just, I wished he could be here to share it. And he said, how much do I tell here? No, just how much do I open up? It's okay? The Lord lead me. Thanks. So he pulls out a check. And he says, do you have a pen? And I said, no, of course I don't. Don't go to a meeting without a pen. But I said, you know, for such a time as this, I'll get a pen. I'll take one out of someone's purse in this restaurant. When somebody brings out a check, yeah, pastors wake up. You know what I mean? It's like, no. What blessed me is that God spoke to him about Leonard and to his mom about Leonard. That blessed me. Because I know this whole 30-year story of how God's worked. And out of the darkest things, the best. So I go get a pen, and he starts to write, and it's red. And he's, ooh, I don't want to ruin this. And I said, no, I'll get you a pen. Get rid of the red one. Get the proper pen. He writes out a check, and he gives it. This is what he said. This is for you and for the church. 200,000. And I could give you the whole backstory of what's going on back in December and this and that and this and that. And I just like you guys just did, except because when I go back 30 years ago, there was life-changing stuff. Changes the direction of our life. I know God can provide and do things in 1,000 ways, but it just has this amazing timing, just amazing. And I'm sitting there with now the son who was a kid who I didn't even really know. And he's saying, you know, God laid you on our heart. All I want to say this morning, and this is what I felt laying in my bed at 3 a.m. listening to the drunks. If there's just one person here today and you are questioning, why me? Why my family? I don't get it. I see nothing good in this. What can be the point of that? I want to pray with you this morning. I want to stand here and believe God. I don't care if it takes 30 years to see what he can do. And that's my prayer. So I'm going to ask the band to come, and we're going to pray. Is that okay? And I meant what I said. If it's for one this morning, on this Palm Sunday, and you've been, Jesus hasn't been the king you expected. You've asked those questions. Let's just stand together. And if that's you, I'm going to invite you to come and pray. Is that okay? If that's you, you come. And what I believe is God wants to encourage you today. He wants to encourage you for your family, for your children, for your lives, for your finance. for health. I don't even want to name things. I just know. I just know. He's a miracle-working God. In the name of Jesus, I invite you to come. Come. Yeah, feel free to sing.